Hey, gang. With Stitcher's free mobile app, you can listen to your favorite radio programs and podcasts anytime and anywhere you want. Stitcher's wide breadth of programming lets you choose from the latest in news, talk, sports, business, and entertainment from the media industry's premier content providers. It's the easiest way to stay connected to your world while on the go and receive news that's important to you in a format that fits into your busy day. How Did I Get Here, along with 65,000 other shows, is on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, and any of the pads. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I'm a little sick. I don't know what I've got. I'm about to go to the doctor after I do this intro and find out what's going on. I didn't have a show out on Friday, so sorry about that. But I do have a great, great show for you guys today. Emily Cowood and Ryan Hill from the world's only emo puppet band, Fragile Rock, are here. We're going to talk about this series, the world's only emo puppet band. You might have heard about them. I've heard about them around town here in Austin, and they were featured a couple weeks ago on NPR's All Songs Considered. They're doing some South by Southwest showcases on Monday, March 13th. They're doing the Spider House Friends Ball. And they're also playing at Sidewinder for the Loyalty Firm South by Southwest Showcase that same day, okay? Go to FragileRockBand.com to find out what's going on with them. Their brand new EP, it's called Weepy. It's out. It's hilarious. This band is hilarious. They've got a great sense of humor. It's made up of a bunch of improv people, theater people, music people, actors. They're really great. They're fucking hilarious. I have a great conversation with Emily and Ryan. The band was started by their leader, Brentley Heelbron. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's a musician, comedian. He came up with the idea when he was getting a divorce, and he created this character, Milo, who is the lead singer of Fragile Rock, and he's emo, and he's angry, and he's got a lot to say. He's been dumped, and he's pissed. And he's going out with Nick Hole, the bass player, who's another puppet, who he was going out with her. They broke up. And now Nick Hole is dating local DJ Elijah Wood. This is all wacky shit. Okay, go to FragileRockBand.com and get involved with them. Weepy is the name of the EP. It's totally great. It's fantastic. And that's it. I'm going to make this intro short because my voice is kind of gone and I got to go to the doctor. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'll talk to you on the other side. Enjoy my conversation with Emily Cowood and Ryan Hill from the awesome, awesome, world's only emo puppet band, Fragile Rock. All right, let's get down.
There's a three-letter word that I know. It starts with an S and it ends with a D.
For me.
Every day I feel so alone, waiting for someone to cut my strings. And you know, it doesn't really matter anyway. Always a dark cloud.
You, Ryan, are also in from the world of improv.
I am. That is where this project got started, was in the world of improv.
Right. Brentley is the main catalyst of this thing.
It was his brainchild.
It was his brainchild. I read that it's one of those things that I was married for 10 years and I got divorced, and you do some weird things in the wake of that situation.
I was married for 7 years and I got divorced. I'm remarried now, but I did a crazy. I quit drinking. That was a crazy thing I did.
No, that's usually when you up the ante.
Well, I did for a while.
Okay, yeah,
I
yeah.
Worn out.
I just did like weird self-destructive things, things that were so counterintuitive to things that I would normally do when I got divorced. It was like I went through my early 20s all over.
Oh yeah,
again.
Me too. Yeah.
And I was like, who am I? Who is this person?
Yeah,
yeah. I did that too.
Now let's reminisce about divorce. Yes, that's always such a good time.
Guys.
So,
but the reason why we brought it up is because Brentley says this too, is that divorce is kind of what started Fragile Rock.
So, that's what I read. I did a little bit made some notes and everything. And you play guitar.
I do.
Do you write the music? Is that your
jam? The way the writing process usually works is Brentley comes with, he's a really good songwriter. He's a really good comedic songwriter. And so he comes with lyrics.
He's really comedic.
Yeah. Yes. He's a funny man.
Yeah.
And he comes with lyrics and chords. He plays ukulele a lot.
Okay.
So he'll sing it for us once on his uke, once or twice. And so, and I, you know,
you add distortion and phaser.
Yes.
And there's a great moment on one of the two.
And some leads.
And some leads.
Yeah, and I add some stuff, but you know, the overall song structure is Brentley's, and the lyrics are Brentley's, but we all contribute. You know, I mean, the bass, you know, obviously the bass player and the drummer write their parts, so you know, because he doesn't write those parts, but he will give suggestions too. He'll be like, you know, in lead singer speak, which
yeah.
Okay, so could you make it go like da ba ba da ba ba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of lead singer speak. There's like the poetic lead singer. There's like, can you make it more blue?
Uh-huh.
Or green. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of guy.
Yeah, no, he's the other kind.
Yeah. He does it all rhythmically, like a choreographer would, like.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't know what he means by pokey. He says, make it pokey. Can you make it sound pokey? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's interesting, though. But when you find out what it is, because that sounds like a new style of music we could all get into. Like pokey.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a specific way he wants the guitar to sound, and I'm not sure. He needs to
play
me a song.
Oh, probably staccato.
Yeah, maybe. Something like
sounds
that.
Sounds pokey.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun.
And Emily, you do the wardrobe for the band, but you are also a backup singer. You're part of the Cocteau Triplets.
I'm one of the Cocteau Triplets, but I didn't become a triplet until recently, until about August, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the first gig I played with you guys was in September Epcot Street.
And we all sweated like
and
pigs.
That was like a real trial by fire, especially because I had not even learned the lyrics or rehearsed one of the songs that we sang. And then Brentley was like, all right, and next we're going to sing Socks or Murder. And I gave him this look and I was like, absolutely not. He was like, oh, no, it's going to be fine. You'll get through it. It'll be great. But I started out just doing the costumes for the band, and then one of the Cocteaus was cast in a show at Zach Scott, so she was out, and then she was cast in another show at Zach Scott, so then she was out again, so then I just became part of the group.
And she's a total pro, and like jumped in and kicked ass immediately.
Aww, so, that's
no,
so
totally
sweet
true.
Of you.
Well, no, and like nobody else was worried about that song. We were like, Emily will fake it. No,
she'll
big deal.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
So,
Did you grow up with music as well? Like in music, were you in choir? Is there like when you do? Because I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did. I did grow up like doing choir in school and all that stuff. But I was also. I also grew up in the Church of Christ. So I grew up with all.
That's a great bed of improv there.
Church of Christ. I didn't know about Emily, number two for the day.
There you go. Ryan's going to learn all sorts of new things about me. I grew up in the Church of Christ, which is all a cappella singing. There's no instrumentals, no nothing. So like, and I feel like one of the benefits of growing up in that environment is that most of the people that I know that went through that church system, they're all incredible vocalists because they know how to hear.
Yeah.
Pitch and without harmonies
without
a piano or anything else, like giving you like maybe once in a while you might have a guy get up there with like a pitch pipe and he'll give you like give the congregation the first
note, sacrifice that tiny little sin.
yeah that one little sin of playing an instrument. So I feel like that really shaped how I hear music and how I learn. I feel like I pick up vocals pretty quickly as a result of that.
I can attest to that. That is true.
I wish I would have gone through choir. I did not. I don't have that. I mean, even being in bands in a long time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm in it, when I'm in the process of doing harmonies and shit like that, but it's hard for me to just gravitate toward things that are not the obvious.
Sure.
You know, like if you're breaking up a Beach Boys or a Queen thing, like I need to hear the individual voices or I don't know what the fuck's going on.
No, I'm the exact same way. And I Catholic Church was where I was in choir. And I sing a little bit, but I don't sing with this band. I just play guitar for this band. Well, I do, but I'm not on a mic, so nobody hears me.
I don't think I've ever heard you sing before.
Yeah, so I sing some, but yeah. Yes.
So what came first for you, your improv and your music? So is what you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, there was like a choice. There was like a dude that was like a mentor kind of guy that was like, look, man. Because I was like, I'm going to be an actor and a musician. And he was like, man, what are you going to do when you're by yourself? Fucking act? Like, if you learn, if you fucking take up music, seriously, this grown man told me this. And I was like, oh, you're right. What am I going to do when I'm alone? Like, perform monologues for no one? So now I just sit here alone and...
Yeah, you can do that.
Play piano and guitar and stuff. But yeah, you can.
Interesting. So I like a lot of teenage boys, I wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
And but like a lot of teenage boys, I wasn't very willing to work very hard at it. And I started playing guitar when I was like 18, 19, like right before I went off to college.
Yeah.
And I really just farted around at it for like 30 years, literally. And I discovered improv when I was like, and I never really played in a, I played in a couple of little bands. We would play at parties and stuff, but I play at weddings. I play like a lot of, play songs at weddings and sing at weddings and stuff. But I, but then in my early 40s, I discovered improv, which, like a lot of people will tell you, kind of if you really take to the training, it will allow you access to your creativity and confidence like you haven't had before. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And so, and an odd side effect of that is that now my music is taken off because I'm like, oh, I really enjoy music and I'm not as afraid to get up in front of people and I'm not as afraid to fail. I'm not as afraid to fuck it up. I'll just try and we'll see what happens. And also I met a whole bunch of crazy people like Brantley and he was like, you play guitar? Come on, let's do this. And it's like, okay. So
is that how it happened? Tell me how it came together. Like, actually, so he's going through the divorce and he's playing with puppets.
He's like, he like posted something on Facebook.
He did. He went up to, he will correct, I hope he will correct. This is my memory of it. He went up to Mount Bonnell with a puppet for some reason. Don't ask me why. He took a picture of this puppet and then he like put the caption on it. Fragile rock and maybe something else, like
something about emo,
something about sadness or emo or something, because you know obviously he's feeling sad and as a comedian and the kind of dude he is
fucking
in,
that's so killer to turn that into funny, you know what I mean?
Well, and I think he does, he Brantley, I'm sorry, I think he did it because that's just how he is. He has a heart, he's gonna have a hard time doing it any other way.
Yeah,
so you know, God love him. So he, and so I saw that thing and I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, I'm like roots emo guy, like Joy Division.
Oh yeah, you know,
Cure.
The real deal.
I'm like, like the real emo,
not the screamo guys from 2003.
So
I'm with you.
That stuff.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I saw it, I it was on Facebook, and I just commented like, whatever this is, I want to be a part of it. And he was like, I don't know what it is. And I was like, all right. So then. And then it just kind of took shape from there.
Yeah, because so. I got this call from him, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing? I've got this project, and don't think I'm weird or anything, but
too late, buddy. we love you.
Brannigan's working on it, and I work with Sean Brannigan at Esther's Follies.
All right, he's the puppet guy.
Yeah, yeah. So Sean Brannigan built the puppets, and so it was before the band was like 100% fully formed yet. Mm-hmm. And so I went over and I met Brantley over at Brannigan's house, and I think like half the puppets had been built at that point, and they weren't. He wasn't 100% sure what the direction was that it was going in or how many people there were going to be or anything. But he's like, can you make clothes for all of these things? And I was like, Sure, because I've worked with Brentley on I've done weird costumes for him for other projects at the Institution Theater.
Did you do the Slim Goodbody costume for him?
No, he actually painted that himself.
Was that the guy that used to be on Captain Kangaroo?
Yes. For some reason at the Institution, Brentley did a Slim Goodbody costume. I don't know why.
Anyway. Well, he used to do it as part of a there was a stand up that he used to do. But I built these other weird nude suits for a hippie hollow sketch.
I remember that show.
Yeah, with the boobs that were full of water balloons and stuff, uh-huh. and this
giving that hippie hollow boob vibe,
and
those old hippie boobs.
So I've built weird stuff for him before, and so he was like, and the thing is that I know that if Brentley's really excited about a project and he's got this kernel of an idea, I know that it's probably going to be something insanely cool and successful. So even if it's not a fully fleshed out idea, I'm totally willing to run with him wherever he's going. Cause I'll make clothes for puppets. Yeah. That sounds great.
Being willing to run with Brentley has served us both very well. It served me very well.
Well, it's interesting. It's just interesting that you get to a point where you really are doing something that is not, you're not you're obviously not reaching for the stars when you're hey, this is weird. Let's do this. You know what I mean? And then that's when you get in All Songs Considered. You know what I mean? There's people beating their heads against the wall, trying to be the greatest rock musician or new kind of musician they possibly can be. But really, it's when you kind of let go and just go you know, let's just use the fours. Emily, you want to make some costumes for these weird puppets we made?
Sure.
It really is that kind of project. That's a great way to describe it.
You can tell. It wouldn't have the success. Yeah. You know, if it had been plotted to be a successful thing, there would be
no.
And also, we don't take ourselves super seriously. God, no. And I think that's so helpful because we're not so bogged down and in our own heads about stuff. We're willing to just go out there and just more than anything, have a great experience.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. When people get to the end, I had listened to this interview a long time ago, but it stuck with me with Jason Segel, when he did Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was on Fresh Air or something. And Terry Gross was asking him, what was with that vampire musical with the Dracula musical thing in it that was supposed to be in there? And he goes, oh, that was a real thing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Judd Apatow because he was out of work. He couldn't get work after whatever that show was they all did. Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. Mm-hmm.
So he was having a hard time. So Judd was always at telling those guys to write their own thing. Uh-huh. And so he's like, okay, so I wrote my own thing. And he's like, okay, well, you know, play it for me. He starts explaining to him what it is, and he sings him a couple of the songs. And apparently Judd Apatow closed the door and was like, dude, don't tell anyone else in Hollywood about this because they'll kick you the fuck out. This is nuts. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's nuts. It's too crazy to take to people because they'll kick you out.
Yeah, I remember seeing Forgetting Sarah Marshall for the first time after Fragile Rock had started.
Right, right.
And I was like, that is almost Fragile Rock. The vampire puppet thing. I was that's close.
It's brilliant. It's the same kind of idea. But really, it's the only idea. It's an idea that would only come to you when you're kind of at the end of your rope.
Yeah. Or when you just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I started doing improv, in my 40s. And playing guitar again and stuff, and I don't have any expectations of anything big. I have a day job. That's what I do.
But in your artistic life, this is the biggest thing you've ever done. And this is probably the thing you went into with the least expectation anything.
That's true. It is. America's Got Talent. Can't believe that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So scared Scary Spice.
She didn't like us. She doesn't like puppets, I hear. So they were also weird.
I don't know if she ever saw the Spice Girls, but they were human puppets.
I agree.
That was literally their role.
It was they didn't like us.
And Simon was there?
Yeah.
And Howie Mandel didn't even like it?
No, and that really was a bummer. That was a bummer for all of us. It was a bummer for Brentley, especially because he really likes Howie Mandel.
Me too.
But
you and I are kind of close to the same age.
I think so, yeah. I'm 48.
I'm 48 too. There we go. Yeah. Okay. I saw Howie Mandel on his first Young Comedian special with Jerry Seinfeld.
With the when he pulled the glove.
Glove over his head, yeah.
Yeah,
and he put the hat on where he's like, and it had a bird on it, on a spring, and he said, a shit came by and bird on my head. And like that.
Kind of brilliant, brilliant humor. He's a funny dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of a bummer, and it was just like, they really just didn't get us, you know? And the thing is, you only have 45 seconds, you know, to... I think it was
so take me through the audition process
there.
Because this is I've had some people from The Voice on here, some people from American Idol. But what is the America's Got Talent like? Did they contact you?
They did contact us. We after Bowie died, strange segue, but after Bowie died, we did a.
He would have liked you. I swear to God, he would have liked
you. You know what? I actually believe that, and it makes me feel really good.
It seems like something he would have gotten behind and championed. Yeah,
and we tried to, and so
okay,
we feel that way too. No, you're fine. We feel that way too. And after he died, we had a show at
Empire.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Empire Control Room. And we made Brannigan, Sean Brannigan, made a giant Bowie puppet, and we learned Heroes. And
awesome.
We kept the Bowie puppet behind the backstage, and then for the like the encore, we played Heroes, and Milo Brentley he goes, ladies and gentlemen, David Bowie, and then the puppet comes out, and like my wife is like doing one of the hands, and like it was awesome.
Because it's massive. It takes like three people.
It takes three people. It's a huge puppet.
It's
like
giant.
Your size, and it was. And honestly, I got choked up like
I would
playing.
Too. Just
I got,
the idea of it's
yeah,
making me like
it was so.
Yeah,
it was like
a moving thing.
Because Heroes were. I mean, that song is so.
Yeah,
and it was so
that's
beautiful.
Making the hair on my arms
me too.
Yeah,
right now, I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
And so it was so. It was so weirdly beautiful. Yeah, exactly. It was so weirdly beautiful that. And tons of people videoed it, and it went out like on Instagram. Oh, tons of people. A few people videoed sorry. And it went out on Instagram.
All 10 people all that 10 were people at the Empire.
Were, there were maybe 30.
No, there were more.
But it went out on Instagram and other places. And so somebody saw it at, you know, and one of the producers or showed it to one of the producers. And so they got in touch with us. And so there's a preliminary audition this time that happened in Dallas. And we were like on the A-list there. So we went to the front of the line.
Right.
And
okay. So you weren't like in the cattle call bullshit thing in the stadium.
And they loved us. Like the producers there loved us. And within a few weeks, they were like, you know, you're going to LA, you know, and you're going to go. You've got, you know, 3 nights in a hotel and airfare and all this. And it was like, whoa, what is happening?
That's killer, man.
It was so great. It was so amazing. But then, and at that audition, let me try and explain this succinctly. At that audition, we did acoustic because we had to be quick and we couldn't set anything up. And musicians, there's three musicians. We just stood off to the side and watched the puppets, you know, mime to our playing, and sing. And the puppeteers actually sing.
Right.
So then when we went to LA, we went back to electric. But they switched up the arrangement. Like, when we play now, you actually see the puppeteer standing there on stage holding the puppet.
Right.
In fact, the puppeteer is dressed like the puppet. It's part
which
of
I
the,
think
part
is part
of the,
part
joke.
Of the joke.
Yeah, I think it's actually really awesome.
And then that's going to dovetail into the next part of this story.
Right, which is so for America's Got Talent, they switched it up on us. They actually wanted the puppeteers to be behind masking so you would only see the puppet. And the musicians, me and Jamie and Cindy, were at the back corner of the stage, like in this walled off area with
so no one could see us.
Okay. And we had a monitor where we could see the puppets. And then the puppets had a monitor where they were supposed to be able to see the judges, but it ended up they could only see themselves, and so they couldn't. So it was a weird situation we'd never been in before. It wasn't quite our act, and we never got a chance to really rehearse or practice with monitors, you know, for puppeteers to do with monitors, a whole different thing. And also it was 45 seconds, and you know, Fragile Rock, you obviously totally appreciated it, but it's a weird joke. It's a weird joke.
Yeah,
it's
you have to have like a comedy and music mind.
Yes, it's esoteric.
It. Yeah.
It's odd, and it's a joke about music and about bands.
Yeah,
you know, and so they didn't get it. You know,
and also, we're not the best puppeteers, to be completely honest.
Exactly. That's
and so I think like just having the puppets, it's kind of like what? So I think like having like especially Brentley's. Face like his physicalities everybody's physicalities and their faces and the fact that we look just like our puppets, that's like such a huge part of it. And if you take that part of the equation out, I could totally understand why they'd be like, what the hell are we looking at?
Let me just be fair and say we're not the best musicians either.
The thing is that you guys it all does make sense when you see you all together and Brentley's dressed like what's his name?
Milo Schwartz.
Fucking awesome name. But it makes so much sense, you know what I mean? Because I think part of what makes it so funny is that it's not the world's greatest puppeteers. Right. If it was totally professionally
be weird.
Done, it wouldn't be that funny. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fact that it's a little bit janky is part of what's funny about it. It's what's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a looseness. Something about it feels more real when it's janky.
It's kind of punk puppeteering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like it's punky music and it's punk puppeteering. It's like it's not super polished, and I like it that way.
So you get up in front of them, and then you have to deal with them saying no.
Yeah, that was weird. Because we start playing. We hear Milo gets us started, and we start playing, and we've got a 45-second version of this 6-minute song put together. You know. And, you know, it's a 2,500-seat theater. It's the biggest place I've ever played. And you know, we're being recorded and everything. So it was pretty nervy. You know?
Was it full? Or was it just...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, fuck. Full. So it was really... Oh. Yeah.
So I'm... And so then we hear the first buzzer, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's okay. One buzzer's cool. That's fine, you know. And the second one's a little harder to take. I think I started really screwing up around the third buzzer. I think my guitar went to shit about the third buzzer, and Cindy, the bass player, kind of walked over to me and helped me get back on track. You know,
talked you off the ledge.
Yeah, she did. She was kind of like,
yeah,
this
come
is
on.
Where we're at.
Yeah, stay in the zone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the fourth buzzer came up, you know, and we were like, wow, we're completely done. Like that, you know, you don't even
it seems
with,
like if Howard, wasn't Howard Stern a guy on there?
He wasn't.
But he was at one point,
He was
right?
at one point, but he wasn't that day. It was
That
scary.
Was a guy was, that would have worked.
Yeah, I think
it seems like he would have been like,
yeah.
But I still don't understand why Howie Mandel didn't think it was great.
Me too.
Did he give you guys any feedback? I know the other judges gave you a line.
It was all negative.
He didn't even give you a line.
It was all negative.
Yeah.
Scary
Spice. I want either Scary Spice or the model. What is the model's name?
Oh, Heidi? Yeah, there's a model.
Heidi Klum. Yeah.
Either Scary Spice
famous.
Or Heidi Klum
yeah.
said, you're not very nice. That was what this. And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? That's the whole fucking joke that we're not very nice." That's right, dumbass. Am I supposed to be nice?
Yeah, you know what? Don't go to some NBC show. Those people just don't get cool stuff.
Nice. Did you know someone emailed the Highball after our Highball show and complained to the Highball? They were like, "If I go see a band that has puppets, they should be nice. I don't like that band. You shouldn't book them ever again."
Well, and that's
is there mean
something
and
that
angry.
Is there something that I missed outside of just a general emo-ness?
No, they're I mean, part of being emo-ness is like
yeah,
the way
you're angry,
right? The way Brentley plays it too is he's, you know, it's like he's better than you. He's a poet. He's an artist. And he is.
You don't understand his pain.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
you understand.
Of course not.
But nobody
I understand
else does.
That I don't understand his pain. Right, like, completely. Yeah.
And so, you are the right interviewer for this.
No, I'm a. You know what? There's a guy named I've heard about you guys for a while.
Cool.
But just like in, you know. And usually people come to me and they're like, oh, have you had this band of puppets on your show? And I'm like, initially really was like, why would I have a fucking puppet band on my show? And then when I did that show at the New Movement Theater that I was telling you about, the one guy that came is this guy, Louis Carr, that does stuff with Austin Music Foundation. He works for Bemused Imaging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do some stuff with the Austin Music Foundation as well. That's how we know each other. But he came to this the Megaphone show. I was the guest.
Oh, cool.
Telling the stories there last Saturday. And he came. And we were hanging out afterwards. We went out and had a drink. And he was just like, no, like, on his phone, he was like, this is what it is. Because he was like, have you had Fragile Rock on there? And I was like, no, like, why would a puppet band steal the name from Fraggle Rock? Like, I was just kind of like, not a hater, but,
no,
you know, when
fine.
You first hear something, you're just kind of like, I don't know what that is. Shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
So he showed me that, and just like from the first, just seeing it, I was like, I know exactly what this is. This is fucking awesome. And
yay!
Then I just started looking at all that shit and ended up, you know, tracking you guys down and trying to get
that's
you on
cool.
the show all of last week.
Cool. That's yeah. great. I'm so glad you did. It's definitely something you have to like experience it to.
Yeah,
really
you can't
get it.
Really
yeah.
explain it to people. When
it's
you
difficult.
Try to explain it, they're like, what?
Well, this here's the question I have. Is the Friends Ball, is that at the Spider House? What time do you guys do that?
We're on at 5.
Yeah, that's at 5.
Okay, is that an official South by show?
No, that
okay.
was not.
Okay, so I can get into that one.
Yes. yes.
And plus
hopefully.
The Calliope guys are playing as well.
Yeah.
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 And there's
some
a
other
lot
people.
Of great people playing yeah. at Spider House that day. I think like Graham Reynolds and the Golden Arm Trio are playing that day.
I love those guys.
I do too. They're fabulous. There's I looked at the lineup of like all the stages yesterday and I was really excited. I was like, I might get there super early because cool. there's
yeah.
a lot of good stuff happening.
I know I have some podcast stuff during the day that day, but usually all that stuff ends by like 3 or 4 because people can't really get together after that. But I want to
yeah.
go and see. And then what do you guys play later that night at the Loyalty Firm show?
We're at the Loyalty Firm show at the Sidewinder.
At the Sidewinder.
And I think we're on at like 12:30
a.m.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go to that because I'm 48.
Well, I know. I will probably be taking a nap between the shows
yeah,
and then having a cup of coffee when I wake up.
There's definitely going to be a disco nap in between the two shows.
Yeah.
Is a disco nap short or is a disco nap long? That's what I don't understand. Because I've had people, I'd be like, oh man, I took a nap and ended up sleeping like 3 hours. And they go like, oh, disco nap. And then I'll go like, oh, I slept 20 minutes. And they'll go, oh, disco nap. So I'm like, what's a disco,
nap? I think it's just like a pre-party nap.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A disco nap is when you come home from work and you nap so that you can go out and party late and then get up for work the next morning.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's the disco nap. Which I can't, even if I do that,
what's
I still
your,
can't
what's
do
your
it.
Work? What's your style
oh,
of work?
My work, I'm working IT security.
That's
I,
cool.
I write technical reports for an IT security company. It's kind of, it's, you know, it pays the bills. and it's not 100% boring, so that's nice.
No. No. It's cool. It's, I mean,
it's good
cool
job.
To have a job you
it's
like.
A good job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And you do wardrobe for the Austin Ballet?
Yeah, I do wardrobe at Ballet Austin.
Ballet Austin,
yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. People switch it around all the time. So I do wardrobe and shoes for Ballet Austin. And then I have a bunch of side hustles. So I host special events at Alamo Draft House and the Highball. And I occasionally perform at Esther's Follies. Mm-hmm. And I have an Etsy store. And
she's a pro.
And I also do other freelance designing. And yeah, I do a million things.
Do you know my cousin Emily? She does wardrobe for commercials, Emily Antonetti Elford.
No, but I've heard the name.
You have?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like there's this bubble that like all the different, like the film people and the commercial
right,
people and
right.
the theater people, you're all in your bubbles. And even within the theater community, it's like, I know who the people are that
right.
work at the different theaters,
right.
but we're all so inundated with stuff 24/7 that you never meet
right.
each other.
Are you guys, either of you actively in an improv
yeah.
group?
I have an my In Our Prime is my improv troupe, and we've played all over the country. We've played at festivals in Hawaii and Alaska. No, we didn't play in Alaska. I played in another group in Alaska.
I like that.
New York. We go to Oklahoma every year.
When you go and do that, what are you doing? Improv festivals? That's
mm-hmm.
what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get one performance. We taught in DC once. It's what's funny is that my improv, like I'm known for doing like grounded, like slice of life, like kind of serious improv, like I know it's weird. Isn't it? I know, right?
That's a
so,
thing.
I like you, Ryan.
It's a thing.
I like you a lot. You're cool.
I am who I am.
Yeah, that's what's cool about you. Man.
Yeah. So that's different. But I've done lots of different improv, but that's the one project that I've had pretty much through my whole improv career. Yeah, and it's called In Our Prime because we're all old.
Are you badass improvers then?
We're okay. We have a niche. We're you know, a lot of people when they think of improv, you think of like, you know, crazy wackadoodle like accents or, you know, just going. And this is like, it's funny, but it can also be kind of heavy. We try to do like realism.
Oh.
And we try to do, yeah, we like, it's like there's a lot of like acting. I'm making air quotes, acting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So I wouldn't call it dramatic because it's also, because it is funny, but yeah. But we are seriously grounded. Like we never do, like my shorthand for some kinds of improv that I'm not super fond of is like dinosaur robots on the moon. You know, we never do that.
Okay,
it's
good.
Just like,
thank you.
We're just like people. Yeah. We're just like people, right. Normal people in a relatively normal life.
Right.
You know, so that's, yeah. But that's there. Now, I wonder if I'll get any pushback from the improv community.
Well, I was telling Emily that it was hard to get people to come out to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a weird kind of like trip with it. But like when I went to it, I wish I had really known, because I felt like there was a lot more. Like any person who is invited to do a thing, you assume that since someone asks you to come do this thing and they put your picture on it, that it must be about you. Mm-hmm. But it's not. You just tell these 3-minute stories and those guys do 25 minutes of improv afterwards,
right.
And that's the show. But really, it was like the greatest thing. Mm-hmm. And I would go back and see it like whenever I have Saturday nights off because it was cool as shit and fun.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was how I took to improv at first, too. Like, I just loved it so much
and
started doing it all the time. And, you know, as time wears on, you kind of, your relationship, you know, it's kind of like a marriage. Your relationship kind of mellows.
Yeah.
Gotta take a break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe date Fragile Rock for a while.
So how serious are you about... How serious is it? Because, I mean, you know, I mean, now, like, once you're, like, on All Songs Considered, which I'm not just using that, but, like, you're, you know, people talk about you, you make videos, you have,
you put out an EP. We rehearse twice a week now instead of one.
This is what I'm saying, is the stakes.
But that's just for this.
That's because we're terrified.
I think we'll go back to maybe one or two rehearsals a month after that.
Yeah. No.
I think, like you said before, we're kind of like, whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
You know? I mean...
That's a good attitude to have, because then you don't start resenting it, because you put all your fucking energy into something that is...
Right.
...fucking you.
And like you were saying earlier, this project has done more things than any other project I've been a part of, and it's because we don't take it too seriously, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so...
I'm in this band, Skyrocket, that started fucking 16 years ago with... A couple of dudes going to a couple of other dudes that were friends in a band and going like, hey, they have that. Remember the Rock and Roll Free For All on Sundays at the Hole in the Wall in the late 90s and early 2000s? Basically, you had 25 minutes on stage and you didn't get paid. You just went up there and played. And so these guys were like, hey, let's see how many songs like we can learn from the 70s and go play this thing. So I was at that show and I was friends with all those dudes. And I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? You don't even have a keyboard player. I've got like this old Rhodes, which is on half the songs you guys play.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, all right. So then I'm playing this thing and then we're doing these hole in the wall things on, you know, every few Sundays because we all have our own bands and shit, but we're just blowing off steam and having a great time, like learning the tunes, getting together that afternoon, putting together the 5 songs and going and playing them the best we can.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, somebody from a Wendy's corporate office came up and said, hey, you guys are playing all this cool 70s music. You guys want to play our corporate party? And we were like, sure. And they told us how much they paid. And we were like, oh, this is fucking crazy. And like dudes had record deals in the band and had come off all of that stuff. And everyone's music career was not, you know, on its way up anymore. And then one of the guys was like, oh, you know, I could get my sister in the band. And I mean, basically, it started as a goof. And now, like, it is a corporation that makes money.
That's exactly and like Fragile Rock.
Yeah. We have, like, 4 employees. And it's how we all make our... It's how can I live in this luxurious...
Wow.
Lap, I know, exactly.
Awesome.
I know. It was weird when we started getting paid
when we first started getting paid.
Well, it's funny. I'm just saying, like, when you just kind of, like... Hey, I'm having a good time. Sometimes that's what people really respond to.
Yep.
As opposed to someone, listen to me, I'm trying to do this thing. And, you know, realize you can wear people out that way.
Yeah, well, they're willing to go along for the ride with you. If you're just up there and you look like you're having a great time and your experience is really great, I think the audience is more willing to go along with that.
Yeah.
And that's how improv was for me when I first started, but I had more this is a ego approaching. I had more talent in improv than I'd really ever had in anything in the rest of my life ever. And so then I started taking it seriously and I kind of killed it.
Yeah.
You know, accidentally. And so, and you know, it'll probably come back to life at some point. But
there's a certain amount of like using the force you have to do as a person in show business and as an artist.
Zen.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of focus you have to put on stuff, but there also is a certain amount of like letting things fall.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
And we and we've had some help with that too. Like, because after America's Got Talent, we were all like, well, fuck, this sucks. And we, you know, and everybody kind of really let go for a little while. In fact, there was a moment Brantley was having a really hard, Brantley's father passed away.
Yeah, and it was a really rough time.
Yeah, it was a rough time.
And he was actually like, oh, the Pecan Street Festival show, that's going to be our last show.
Yeah,
that's
like, I don't want to do this anymore. And
but I think that we show, like, I think that show brought him back to life. Like, that show was so much fun and it was so great. And then after that, he was like, all right, what are we doing next?
Yeah, you could tell. You could totally tell, like, immediately after that show, it improved his mood and outlook so much that he was like, okay, what are we doing next? And I'm like, oh, great. And I kind of had a feeling that might happen. We were all kind of like, we're like, okay, you know, whatever you need, buddy.
Sure.
Because, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're like, whatever you need, brother. And then and after that show, he was back on board.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah.
And then things really started to, like, the trajectory just went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Oh, and then the
highball show was great.
And the highball show was awesome.
And then
you got that for us, didn't you? Heard of that?
Maybe I got that for us. I don't know.
It's possible. I guess it doesn't matter. Do you guys know this band? I used to be in a band with this guy that has a Hedwig and the Angry Inch tribute band.
Richard! I know Richard. Yeah. Richard's fabulous. Actually, Richard recently contacted me to make him a new Hedwig costume.
Of course.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
knew each other in Miami in high school. We met there and started a band, and then we had a band in Houston. And then we had a band here.
He also has been doing a band called Recovering, and they've been redoing entire albums.
I saw something like that on the...
Yeah, they did Radiohead's The Bends, and it was really fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. He paired up with some of the people that play, I think,
isn't
like
Steve
karaoke...
Sanders or something?
Steve isn't...
He's the drummer in the band,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's a highball guy.
He is. I work with Steve a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Because he's the sound
Steve
guy.
Sanders. Shout
Steve
out.
Sanders.
What's up? Oh, he's the
hey,
sound guy there?
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What up, Steve?
I don't know you.
I love
think
you,
he listens
Steve.
To my
You're
podcast.
Fabulous. I'll tell him to listen.
Did he recorded our highball show, didn't he?
Was yeah,
he
the guy Steve.
That, okay.
Steve
I love
recorded
Steve.
Our
Steve
show.
Let me ask you this. The Weepy album has this, obviously there's some stuff recorded from a studio, but then there's a live. How much is live?
Most of it.
Most of it is recorded from that highball show?
Two tracks. I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
I think some of it's from the Empire. It's like a hodgepodge.
I'm telling you.
I don't even think my voice is on the Weepy EP.
I don't know if it is or not.
No.
Say that again. Say that again.
I don't even think my voice is on the Weepy EP.
It may not be,
unfortunately. It's probably not.
Everyone get out and pick up Weepy EP.
Weepy EP. On iTunes or Amazon.
iTunes, Amazon.
The Weepy EP.
The Weepy EP.
Yeah, there's so there were two live sets that were recorded. One was at the Highball and one was at
Empire.
Thank you. Empire.
Okay.
And some of the, like, most of the tracks were pulled from that. And then one track was from a live, a recording session, not a live thing. And then another track we recorded was I Am Sad, which we were lucky enough to record at KUT Studios like ages ago.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
That sounds really good. So that's like a live recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your single. It's a video.
Yeah.
It's
They're talking
video.
About it on the NPR.
I Am Sad and So Am I. Yes.
What a great song.
It's a blast.
Too. Yeah.
It's a blast.
It's a great EP. I listened to it a few times.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'll listen. What are the plans now? Well, I was going to ask, like, when you're in the studio. Mm-hmm.
We aren't.
If, like, in a recording studio, like, when you go into a recording studio, like, does Brantley just sing it,
does he hold the puppet?
Does he bring Milo with him?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, right?
I think he would probably just sing it. Although the
because he's one of the
that
only.
That would be really rough.
He's one of the only ones who doesn't, like, puppet up, I would say, at rehearsals.
That's oh, really?
True. Well, and that's because Milo and Brantley are
the same
are
person.
Very close. I'm not going to say they're the same person.
No, they're not the same person.
Because Brantley's not as big of an asshole as Milo. But they're very close. but the thing that's happened to us when we tried to record in a studio setting is it's really hard for me because the energy just dies, you know? And it's like, so we haven't figured that out yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't figured that out yet. So, but we will at some point. So,
yeah. I want to produce your next record.
That Excellent. Might be able to be arranged. Brantley, did you hear that?
I have a lot
Brantley.
Of, I have a lot. I'm well known in the music world as a musician and guy.
Okay. I'm totally on
Sneak
board.
Make that happen.
I'm totally on board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I get. Oh, Emily's in that picture, but she was little.
Uh-huh.
So you might not recognize her.
No, I don't.
You're
it's me and the cousins.
The cousins.
Just hanging out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm a lot older than all of them. It's pretty sad. But now that they're all in their 30s and stuff, it's cooler.
Yeah.
It's a little cooler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing? You're married and you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am married. I've been married for 2 years.
You say your boyfriend is improv?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the education director at the institution
he's
theater.
Pretty well known, he's like pretty, teacher
yeah.
nationally, and
he
yeah.
wrote a book.
He did
what?
Directing improv. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote a book called Directing Improv,
which
and
I told him I read, but I haven't.
Dude, you just outed yourself.
Like, I know
this is going to be so awkward.
It's fine, and only Ryan will get this, but Tom Booker hasn't read it either. He also teaches. He goes around and teaches workshops around the country. Sometimes mm-hmm. we fund entire road trips by him teaching workshops in different cities.
That's cool as shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a very good teacher.
It is pretty fucking cool.
He may be my favorite improv teacher. He's a very important teacher for me. Yeah.
Like, what do you guys think of like a Matt Besser?
That style of improv is great, and it's its own thing, but it's kind of definitely a niche, you know? Like, UCB is a really specific style and formula for improv that I've studied it to some degree and practiced it to some degree, but I also kind of find it a little limiting, so... Mm-hmm. You know, what do you know Matt Besser? He's the UCB guy.
I'm the only one in the band who's not an improviser.
It's true. It's true. But you're an actress.
So I've
He's
heard,
also
I've
one of
the
most
the
high people in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
You mean high as in?
He smokes a lot of weed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
like mountains and mountains of weed.
Fairly common for improvisers.
Yeah. I saw him on the. Have you guys ever seen Getting Doug with High, where Doug Benson just.
No,
gets really
I
high
haven't.
With people.
No,
that's pretty
awesome.
Funny.
That's fun.
Well, they try different weeds and they try different paraphernalia,
mm-hmm.
and it's like spawn. He's on there, and like it's like an hour long show. So like 15 minutes after the thing, Matt Besser is just like totally like Chinese. It's him and that other guy. Who's the other guy that is from UCB that's on like Veep?
I don't know.
The red-haired guy with the mustache.
Oh my God. What is his name? He's so great. Oh,
he's fucking hilarious.
Oh, God. That's going to kill me.
Yeah, it's ringing a bell for me, too, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you guys have any... There's no shows on the books after these shows on the 13th.
No, there is
no,
not.
No, there's not.
And I don't... And there's some other things in the works,
I mean,
but I don't think we're
some,
supposed to
talk
about
some
them.
Heat, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
You guys have
surprising.
Some heat. You
we
need
do.
To, you yeah. need to capitalize
yeah.
on this.
Yeah.
We've got some
How
other...
How are you going to be able to afford me producing your next record if you don't do well with this
well,
one?
Well, we've got some other things that we
that are brewing
that we
that
are
we can't
not
really talk
allowed
about.
To talk about right yeah. now, so...
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
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 It's cool.
So that
I think we're not allowed to talk about them. I don't even know. But
no one asked me to sign an NDA, but I'm just going to go with I can't talk about it.
Yeah,
or so. I'm going to jinx it.
And it might be nothing, but we'll see.
But we'll see. But I also think, isn't Brantley kind of toying around with some new songs?
Oh, yeah. We've got new songs
yeah.
coming.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's always
some
fun.
New levels of sadness coming
new
at you.
New levels of sadness.
New avenues of sadness.
New avenues of sadness.
Yeah. I think more songs for the other vocalists in
right.
the band.
He's very good at, he'll like write songs specifically for different
for
people.
For different people. So he's currently writing songs for the other vocalists in the band so that everybody kind of has a moment to do a
have
thing.
Have you guys ever gotten a local DJ Elijah Wood? actually out to a show. I love that you refer to him as that.
No,
so we haven't. Although he did,
he did
make a comment once.
Right, I
on
saw
it.
That
yeah.
video. Yeah,
that
yeah.
was Brannigan.
Brannigan ran into him at like Fantastic Fest and was like, "Hey, I want you to record this video. I know this is not going to make sense to you, but will you please just say the following words?" And he was like, "Okay." Like, apparently he was really
cool
about it.
I think Brannigan told him he wanted to say that he was not in love with Nicole, which is the bass player. And,
yes.
And he said, no, I want to say I'm in love with her. And so Brannigan's like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So Did he ever open that? He was going to open a pie restaurant here that was all pies.
I didn't know that.
Like savory pies and sweet pies, that but all the food was going to be pie oriented.
Huh.
I'm really hoping for an Elijah Wood or Fairuza Balk at one of our
Brentley
of our
really
shows.
Wants Fairuza Balk to guys, show did, up at did, South
we
by.
We have a song called Fairuza Balk.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she seems like the perfect girlfriend
for Milo.
Yeah.
She's his heartthrob.
His dream woman.
He is really, really hoping that she's at South by.
See, that would be so awesome.
It's like, someone find her.
You know, my favorite thing that she ever did on film is when Almost Famous, when she runs into the wall.
Yes.
I think that's easily like like one of the greatest physical comedy things I've ever seen in my life. It's all happening.
In the Fairuza Balk song, there are a few lines from The Craft in that song.
Yeah, there
I don't
are
think
lines.
I ever saw that movie. Is it worth seeing?
When she's
you, Nancy. I bind you.
No, there's a dude that she's been like feuding with, and this is when she actually like throws him out a window with her magic or something.
Oh, awesome.
It's their last conversation. Like, yeah. So,
look at that face. I'm waiting to see what's going to come out of your mouth.
I know. My face is super animated.
It's true.
I can't.
It's like a
fucking
puppet.
I can't tell a lie.
It's like a puppet.
It's even more animated.
I'm like a puppet in human form.
Does your puppet have a name, or is it just a Cocteau triplet?
Brie.
Okay.
Well, we don't know who is what. It's complicated.
Because Kim came back.
The original Brie is back, so we actually don't know who's who
right now.
You can
both be Brie. That would be
funny.
Well,
no. Brentley already put on the press release that one of us is named Texas.
That's cool.
That's funny.
Do you guys have a publicist or a manager or anything? Is there any booking agent? Nothing?
No. Everything goes through Brentley.
Brentley's.
He didn't even come to the interviews, man. Or at least this one.
What's he doing? He's got his kids or something.
Yeah, yes. he's either teaching a class, or he has his kids, or yeah.
Is there anything that I'm missing? If you guys are interested, if you're going to be here at South by Southwest, the Loyalty Firm South by Southwest Showcase Monday, March 13th at Sidewinder, and you guys go on at like 12:30 at night,
12:40 a.m.
12:40 a.m.
Yes,
and then Spider House that same day earlier at what time? Five.
We're
at 5 o'clock in the ballroom.
Yes.
And what's the name of that show? You said. The friend ball? The friends
ball? All the friends ball.
Yes. Fragile rock.
Fragile rock.
Fragile rock.
Ryan and Emily, thank you so much for coming. You guys
Johnny.
Can go to fragilerockband.com. Be sure you pick up Weepy, the EP Weepy, and see the video for I Am Sad and So Am I. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
There's a sad little girl that I know. She plays the bass and she's in my band. Ain't
Love Grand. All right, that was awesome, man. I really love Fragile Rock. I love talking to Emily and Ryan. It was great getting to know them. Pick up their EP. It's called Weepy, and you can find it at all the places where you do the music, like iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music. Go to fragilerockband.com, the world's only emo puppet band, and see them at the Spider House for the Friends Ball on Monday, March 13th, and then you can also see them that same night at Sidewinder. South by Southwest shows, go to fragilerockband.com for all your information. Find out where you can see them. I'm going to try and get out and see one of those shows on that Monday, the 13th. If you see me there, say hi. Once again, I'm sorry, I don't feel well, so I'm going to make this short. Don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and all the places where you get your podcasts, okay? Thank you so much for listening. Let's hear some more music from Fragile Rock. This song is called Girlfriend is the Enemy of Rock and Roll. From their EP, Weepy, this is Fragile Rock. Have a great week. Let's get down.
Girlfriend is the enemy of rock and roll. Girlfriend is the enemy of rock and roll. When a man joins a band, the pack comes out to swagger and sing. But with a little sway, that happy will stray into a seemingly meaningless fling. He'll howl at the moon, he'll give his band's best tune to the girlfriend. Does her touch release his tension? Does her thrust mistrust the rhythm section? Girlfriend is the enemy of rock and roll. They sharpen their blades and lay all the blame onto the girlfriends and wives. What's it did to Nancy? The world did to you. Girl, that never pans out how it is supposed to. The heart of the band is down on his knees. Resist while you can, man, and love who you please. This one's for the girlfriend, the enemy. Thank you.